It's time for the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layton Media, hosted by Liam Stass.
Welcome back to another episode of the Warrior Way, produced by KWMN 99.3, the Winona Sports Network. My name is Liam Stass. We are joined here today by Anna Wirtz, head coach of the women's basketball team. Anna, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, you probably have the best resume of any guest that we've had on today. I almost had to print out two sheets, and I managed to fit it all onto the one page. But a WSU Athletics Hall of Famer, let's talk about that first.
Oh, dear. I don't like talking about that.
Really?
No.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's the whole thing about all that is that, number one, you have to be good in order to get in the Hall of Fame. Your team has to be good, right? And so I kind of got the benefit of playing with a lot of really elite players. Specifically, like, we had a point guard who drew a lot of attention, was elite at finding me. I mean, I was a shooter. I'd like to say I had other parts to my game, but I was a shooter, and you don't get shots by yourself. Those are created by everyone else on the floor, so other people have to draw attention. And honestly, you can't just have one shooter. We had a lot of people on the floor that were capable of doing things, so teams could lose me at times, which I only benefit from by having other players on the floor that were elite. We were a very good basketball team overall. And I think, yeah, at the end, like, the numbers, I guess, could go in my favor in that way, but that's not, there was so much more to it.
Well, yeah, you had during the 2008-2009 season, a program record 24 wins during that season, correct?
Yeah. Was it at 24 at the same time? Yeah.
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 So you kind of just view it as more so it's a group effort, collaborative effort rather than
100%. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I came in and I had a player who was an incredible leader and just an overall great point guard. And then the second I stepped foot into the program, I mean, I went through kind of what a lot of freshmen do. Don't recommend, but you kind of want to take a back seat. You want to be nice, play nice. I'm not going to come out here and take every shot. And fortunately, I had a leader that stepped in, and if I passed up any shot, she was on me.
Do you remember her name?
Molly, absolutely. She's one of my best friends, Molly Anderson, and Casper would be her last name now. Now she's the Eastview head coach up in the city. So
there you go.
Been having some state tournament runs, but just, I mean, one of the best leaders that I've ever been around. But just to think that, I mean, had she have not done that for me, I would have sat in my shell for a whole year, taking shots when I wanted and not when I should have. And so it was up to her. And then she also, if I didn't take shots open that were opening games, she was on me. So not only did I never felt the pressure of making a shot, I felt the pressure of taking the shot. Mm. And that is just so much, takes a lot of, it's a lot of relief on my end because I'm not overthinking anymore. What's a good shot? What's a bad shot? If I didn't take the right shot for our team, I would hear about it. And so there was no question. If I'm open, I'm going to take it. But I don't just walk in with that mindset. I was assisted in that way. So
no, that's a really great way to look at it. Kind of goes back to all of these quotes you hear from, like, Kobe and Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, and you're comparing me to Kobe and Wayne Gretzky.
Well, okay. I mean, here's the thing. Well, I mean, in terms of, like work ethic and stuff like that. Yeah, I would say absolutely. You know, they all had the mindset of the best shot is the one that you take, and you know, you miss every single one that you don't take, right?
Yep.
So it's better to shoot the shot. And then maybe it misses, sure, but you'll get another chance, right? Than to never shoot it and be wondering what might have happened.
No, I mean, that's important for me now in my coaching role is that my players don't question. I mean, they have to earn it. You can't just come in and take shots. Like, you have to show me that you're capable of knocking it down in some respect. But I was just at a film session right now. And the big thing is I'm more talking about how to get our rebounders in good position to worry about grabbing the O board than I am worrying or discussing whether or not someone should have taken that shot or not. The mental side of the game, especially from a shooter perspective, is you want to get rid of it because it can change the game for shooters. So the most I can get them out of their own way mentally and just make it simple, you're open, you shoot, the better. So.
Yeah, I kind of say that, you know, transcends sports too. Like when your athletes graduate and maybe they stick with basketball, maybe they don't, whenever they go off into the world, they're probably going to take that with them. That mentality of it's, you know, better maybe to just do this now and then kind of not think about it or worry about it later. Or it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission in some regards. So
Yeah. Yeah. Be confident. I mean, you've earned it. You've worked for it. Like, there's nobody in our program right now that hasn't put in the work. So you can't, okay, lights are on. Yeah, people are in the stands, but that changes nothing. You've worked on this shot hundreds of thousands of times. Like, you can't overthink it.
No, I definitely get it. tell me about your coaching journey. Was coaching always something that you kind of saw on the cards for yourself, or is it something that became apparent as you kind of traveled through life?
Yeah, I'm not sure why I didn't kind of wake up in college and learn that, like, obviously I had Coach Ballard. He was coaching college basketball. For some reason, it never went through my head that I could do that for a living. So I was on a journey through college trying to find out what my passion and where am I going to go with this. The classes that stuck, I went psychology. And so I was going to be a school psych. I got into the master's program at UW-Milwaukee, was kind of on that adventure, always thinking I would have coaching in my life somewhere, but thinking, you know, maybe I'm coaching my kids someday, or maybe at a high school.
Middle school, yeah.
I didn't think, like, I would coach college basketball at the Division II level. That wasn't, I don't know why. But basically, as I was thinking I'm taking this next adventure, Coach Ballard asked me, and then Larry Holstead, our previous AD, provided an opportunity for myself and Molly, who I was talking about, to both stick around and be the grad assistant. And so we both kind of changed. She was going teaching route, which she still is with coaching, but she was going to go on and go be a teacher, and I was going to go on to my master's. And we're like, hey, like, this widow is pretty fun. College is pretty fun. Like, why don't we do this for another couple years? So yeah, we stuck around and did the grad assistant position for 2 years. And from there, yeah, my dad, so I grew up around coaching. I've been at high school game scouting, driving, you know, at the times there was no film. So my dad would be on the road driving every weeknight to go watch the next team that he needed to play. And I was in the car seat with him. so I have been, in a sense, in the gym since forever. So it's always kind of been part, I think, of what my future would look like, but not necessarily in this capacity.
Yeah, no, you kind of got like a little behind the scenes look at what truly kind of goes into a coach's life and the sacrifices that they kind of make.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I see here that you were the UW Oshkosh assistant coach. Go WIAC, by the way. Yep. UW Stevens Point grad myself.
My husband is a UW Stevens Point.
Let's go.
Yeah, they won a national championship. We don't talk about it very much, but they are actually celebrating their national championship this year. So.
What?
Basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yes. So he's got a ring and all the things. So
that's so cool.
We try to avoid talking about it, but
sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Yes. So basketball runs deep in what I do.
In your family and everything, it seems like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was Oshkosh the first, you know, non-grad assistant job that you got right out of college then?
Yeah, it was. And it fit perfectly. My family was living in Appleton in the time, which is 20, 25 minutes.
Literally right there, right down the road.
It was a dream to be able to. I didn't want to leave Winona, truthfully, but to be able to go away and then get closer to my family and be, like you said, in the WIAC, which is one of the toughest Division III conferences in the country. It was just elite basketball, fun to be part of. But yeah, unfortunately, it was a short stint just because of the way coaching works. This position opened up and Coach Ballard called, and it was, I guess, time to go after 1 year.
Whoa.
But it was tough because I had recruited a lot of players to UW Oshkosh, and I get attached to people. And so just to be in their homes, to be at the gym, constantly supporting them, be in communication with them, and then have to turn it around in 1 year and say, hey, like, you're coming here, but
I've got to go.
I'm out. And yeah, it broke my heart. Probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever made. But Winona makes it easy. I wanted to come back.
I was going
to
say, would you say that you made the right one then?
Oh, of course I did. Yes. But there's still part of me. I look back and I wish I could have coached those kids.
Yeah.
Got to know them. But absolutely. Then you come here and we've got more great people to be around. And I got to spend a lot more time with Coach Ballard, which was just another, just to develop that relationship even further from a player to a coach. So.
And then tell me about the timeline. You are the which I forget. I'm kind of struggling how to phrase this question. So you would be in like terms of lineage, which number coach are you? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I don't know, and I should probably know that information.
I should also probably know that information.
Yeah. I learned a little bit more when we had our 50 years of women's sports. I was hearing some names thrown around for people that have been. I don't think there's many. I want to say 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
it might be number 5.
I mean, I don't think people truly kind of realize how late women's athletics started on many college campuses, which, I mean, you'd think, right? You'd figure that it would be around a lot easier. But, I mean, only 50 years, it's a heck of a lot of, like, experience and lore to pack into only 50 years, especially for a program like Winona State.
Yep. And when you find a good place like Winona, you want to stick around so people don't necessarily just up and move.
Yeah. Let's see. In 2016, you were named the 30 Under 30 recognition as one of the top up-and-coming coaches. Is that something that you kind of knew was coming, or is it just a surprise for you?
I didn't even know the award existed. I'm guessing Coach Ballard had to nominate, and now I see it, and it's definitely something that I, like, we've got Coach McGlone right now on staff, and I would love to get her name out there for that. I mean, it was a really cool award, because not only that, but I guess what I've seen lately is, like, I don't know if you know who J.C. Hoyt is, but those people watching the game, she's now at Oklahoma State. She's kind of been on a journey. But I met other names that are, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. I don't necessarily strive for the Division I world, but it is fun to see that some of those people that were in my quote unquote 30 for 30 class, we met at the Final Four and got to see them there. So then now I see them on national TV coaching.
Yeah, so. Coaching D1 and D1 powerhouses as well. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, kind of following that track, is D1 kind of in your future? Or you see that in your vision, or are you just kind of happy with Winona State?
I'm so happy here. I don't even think about it, quite honestly. Just think about year one. I mean, first we got to get on the board here and get this thing rolling. But no, I mean, I love being here. I also have 3 young kids, 3 young girls, and I love Winona, raising my family here. And I love I'd say a balance of life, but it's just whatever this life is, I love it. So I'm not looking to do anything else. No.
That's a perfect answer. Focusing on the team a little bit here, a couple of big questions. Number one, you have a team GPA of 3.59 or higher in each season as your head coach. Is that something that you influence? You know, that's something you strive and ask your players to do, or is it just kind of something that happened?
Honestly, no. All we ask our players to do is do the best they can. So whatever that is, whether that's somebody that needs to get the C or get the A. But what we do surround ourselves with on a everything we do basis is just we want to be the best in everything we do. So it's not just in the classroom. Obviously, in the classroom, as you can see, I mean, we had a 3.94 last year. Yeah, it was wild. In fact, I felt more for, like, the people that didn't get a 4.0 because I was like, oh, you poor thing. You got a 3.7 and yeah. Like,
and that's still honors, too.
It's unbelievable. No, I'm more like, hey, it's okay to get a B. Like,
it's okay. You know, you have a lot going on right
yes,
now.
Yes, you're doing great. But really what we talk about is everything we do, we want to be the best. We want to be elite. So whether that is right now in the classroom, like, you just need to be the best you can be, right? And so a lot of ours are very smart. They spend a lot of time on it, obviously, and they do great in the classroom. There's other parts of our program, like just community service. When we're out in the community, people are going to know about us. And I don't know if anyone listening here took into our game day experience when we had this, like, French fry trailer out there. But I got a lot of feedback from people walking by that, like, your team is different. Like, we aren't just going to go run the French fry trailer. We're going to include every person that's walking by. They're going to know who the Winona State Women's Basketball program is, and just every step of the way, right? Supporting our other programs on campus, whether that's going to the football games, going to the volleyball games. Just be like, we got to be do the best we can in every aspect. Basketball is going to fall into place there too, so we need to step up and get better there.
I like that outlook of it, as in it's like we are carving out our spot on this campus, you know, and whether or not that's by filling a necessary service or not, we're here. Yep. And we're not going to go away very easily.
Yep.
I like that outlook, especially because people tend to view volunteer work is just something that people have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and that might be the case in some areas, but it's still important work to do. Yep. And if
we're here, let's make the best of
it.
Let's have fun.
Yeah. I love that answer. That's a great answer. Still focusing on the team.
Yes.
This is actually a question that Joey actually submitted, and he said he would like it to be asked.
Oh, we gotta answer Joey's questions.
Gotta answer Joey's questions. But he wanted to know about your key returners and any key transfers you might have had in the offseason.
Okay. Yeah, so this year was a little bit more portal heavy. We typically don't have a ton in the portal, but we had some openings, and that's kind of the route we went. When it comes to the portal, the question is always, do they fit who we are and what we talk about? Be the brand. We want to be a certain way. And like, do you fit who we are? We will add anybody if they're going to make us better. And if they're not, they're going to fit right into our culture when it comes to all the things that we talk about. So we found people this year that fit the brand, and they joined our program. And yes, we're ecstatic to have them from so many angles. I mean, from the basketball aspect, they're going to be contributors, but also from just the person aspect, we got some incredible people. So it's just fun when, I can view the portal in that way. We added some awesome people to our program. When it comes to key returners, we don't have a ton with experience coming back, but we do have for sure. Vivica Breton is just a key leader. She's just a unique person when it comes. I mean, she's just a great leader. I guess I don't know how else to explain it, but she's that player that like, she's going to like stare through you into your eyes. Like, what are you saying? And I'm going to get this done. And you feel it. And
gotcha.
You're like, okay, wow. Yeah. Like, she's definitely intentional about what she's doing. And she wants this place to be great. And that is her main motive. It's not, there's nothing. And same thing. So you got Haley Markworth too, a key returner for sure. Probably our leading scorer that would be returning. Same kind of mindset. I mean, just those two are just exceptional. I know that I'm blessed in the leadership position, and I'm not taking that for granted. So Haley will be coming back. She just brings so much to the table as far as all the pieces. I mean, she can flat out score the ball. She's a very shifty guard, but she can defend. She rebounds really well. She just, both of them see big picture stuff really well. So, I mean, I would expect a lot of minutes out of them. Sadie Jarmolovich, a wild name if you read it through, wow. But that's how you pronounce it. Took me a bit in the recruiting process. I'm like, say it again. Like, how do we do this? She's just a winner. I mean, and how else to describe her, but she's a winner.
She's got the winning mentality.
She has it. Like, she's going to make the plays that win games.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So she keeps it simple. I mean, she can do a lot of things on the court. She's a really elite rebounder, can handle the ball, handle pressure, really poised. So she's one that we bring back, but just more experience under her belt. So last year was really her first year stepping foot on the floor. She had a medical redshirt her first year. And so last year she went through the normal freshman growing pains of having to learn through making mistakes.
How do I play at a college level?
Yep.
Yeah.
And she went through it, and now she's through it. So she's ready. And then I think just one that I have to highlight here is Megan Schumann. I don't know what exactly clicked. It's one of those moments where you're like, is there something I said or did, and we need to bottle this up? Or did something, was it just her? I mean, she took the summer and worked her butt off. I know she stuck around this summer in Winona, and anytime I'd walk past the gym, she's in there putting in work. She was organizing workouts with other players and teammates that were in town. So she's also kind of stepped into a fun leadership role, but just has turned herself into a player that's not like, I'm out here. I'm out here. Like, I want the ball. She's finding positions to score constantly. She's making things happen. But same thing. She redshirted her freshman year. So last year was her first minutes. And I would say, those two kind of just had to like go through their growing pains, but they're out. They're out of them. So
they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. That's pretty much exactly what I was looking for, key returners, anything like that. I'm really happy that you shouted them out too. I know that sometimes there's a little stigma about not wanting to highlight players, keeping it all plain. But I really do like that you highlighted them. You said a couple of them had leadership qualities. A question that kind of just popped into my mind is, do you see kind of some of those qualities that you and Molly had when you played at Winona State?
Yeah. Well, I say it, even I've told them, I don't think I was the best leader of all time when I played. I was somebody who was in my own headspace a lot of times, which is fortunate that I had other people that would force me out of it. But, that's where I watched like Molly Anderson Casper was able to get outside of herself and like support other people and be there for other people and set other people up. And I don't want to say I did any of that. Like my senior year, I do believe I definitely had some
kind of stepped into
some
that.
Signs of, okay, like you're growing up here. but I would not, like, I don't think I'm in the category of what I'm talking about here that we've got. We've got some that are exceptional. And you could go a long time without certain kids that have these qualities. And so I think more than anything this year, I'm just soaking up every moment that I get to be around them, because I think I know that it may not happen again. I hope so. I hope that they rub off on people in the future and we continue to see this sort of confident leadership, I would say, kind of shining through. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Perfect. One of my last couple of questions, just because I know that it's coming up this weekend. It's the NSIC GAC crossover event that's hosted here on campus, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the significance of these types of crossovers, and then what's the benefit of hosting?
Yeah, well, it's huge. This will actually be the first time that I know of, and I've been here for most of a lot of the time, that we have ever hosted a crossover regional tournament. And so the big significance of that is we are playing teams that are in our region. And in our region, they take three conferences. It's us, the MIAA, and the GAC. And they take eight teams out of those three conferences that go on to the regional tournament. So what we need to do is prove ourselves worthy when we play teams outside of our region that we can compete. So it's their way of kind of showing like, okay, you beat them and they beat them, so this is how you stack up.
Gotcha.
We don't have a ton of it in D2 because we don't play a lot of similar opponents that happen more at the Division I level. So when they're trying to get us votes in the rankings, like, they have to look at it. It comes down to how did you fare in your regional. So I don't want to say it's I put pressure on this weekend, but it's an important weekend. We want not only ours, and this is going to be the one time that I root for the rest of our league. usually mid-season, you got this team's playing that team. Who do I want to win? Nobody. But in this time of year, we actually do kind of want our league to go out and represent well.
Yeah.
Yep, because we want to put it on notice that, okay, we went and played these teams from the MIAA or the GAC, and we are better.
Yeah.
So we want our conference to kind of stand alone. Yeah.
No, I definitely see that. And, you know, there's not really a whole lot of D2 conferences, just even in the Midwest. Like, I think it's the NSIC, like you said, and the MIA, and that's kind of it.
Yeah,
and
that's our region.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people kind of realize that, you know, and especially the NSIC, who does, you know, offer quite a large selection of sports as well, because I know there's only like in the NCHA, which is a hockey-only conference, and that is the only one in the Midwest, and it's like this big conference that can really, you know, stand up to, like you said, the GAC and the MIA.
Yep.
And you're really wanting them to kind of showcase what the conference has and the level of play that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is the final question that I had. We touched on your coaching journey and Winona, and I gave very, very good answers. And this is already the longest interview that I've had with just a single coach one-on-one like this before. So, I mean, thank you for already breaking that record.
I don't know. What, did you want me to break that record? No, I can keep going.
One of many. Well, if you have anything that you want to shout out, be my guest. You know, like, this is as much your episode as it is anybody else's. So, and if there's anything that you want to highlight, just go for it.
No. I think the biggest thing I want is just please come check us out. If you want to come to a game, reach out to me. We want to get you through the door. We sit here, we practice. We've been practicing September, October. Like, we're putting in all this time, and now it's our time to go. And in the end, like, we aren't playing for anybody else. Like, we're playing for each other, and, you know, we've got a goal in mind. But it sure is fun to get some support and people that are rooting for us, are on our side on game day. And I'd love for you to see it. I said, you're not just going to see it, whether you like basketball or not, but what you're going to see is just, like I said, you're going to see that confident leadership. You're going to see young women playing hard, gritty, tough, physical. I just think that there's so many other things that you can get from it, to see the leadership capabilities, the fun energy, how we celebrate each other, good, bad. You know, on the bench, you're going to see people that maybe I'm not getting the role exactly I want right now, but you're going to watch people that support and encourage, and they're happy for other people on the court. So there's just so much more to just the game. And, you know, the girls have been putting in a long time, and my dream is to get them playing in front of people that are rooting for them.
Yeah. When's your next game then? Let's go ahead and shout that out.
Friday at, we play the second game. I can't remember what time it is. 7:30? 7:30, I think.
7, one of those two. Yeah, and that'll be, will that be the winner of a game, or will that be, do you know who that opponent is against?
That one's Southeastern Oklahoma State. Yep. Okay,
and I heard that they're not that, well, they're, I don't want to say not that tough an opponent, because that's not what I'm meaning to say. They're pretty decent in there. They're like one of those mid-level kind of teams in their conference.
We played them last year, and we got them, but it ended up being a pretty close game. And they play a style of play that can be tough to defend. It should be a good one.
All righty. Well, one final thing then to leave the people listening. What would you leave them with?
Oh man, that's just I would have said that. Yeah, just kind of show up for us. But yeah, I guess just show up for us. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on what kind of product we're putting on the floor. And this does not mean wins, losses, putting the ball through the hoop. This is all the other pieces that surround our program. So yeah, come check us out.
All righty. Well, that is Anna Wirtz. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Like I said, this is already the longest interview we've had. So thank you for smashing that record. Like, you know, Matt, like you've like set a couple of other ones on the way.
It helps
so
when you've been here for over 20 years. So keep going.
Awesome. All righty. Well, that is the Warrior Way podcast. Thank you so much for listening along. We'll be another episode next week as well. So make sure you tune in for that and go Warriors.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layton Media. Tune in next time for more exciting WSU sports talk and news.